You are now listening to the New Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time at bringdowntheband.com, and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Sun King Brewery. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
We're now tuned in to the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7th. Entire crew is here, as always. We just had a very interesting conversation on the pre-show. Made me feel kind of old, but I'm blessed. We still here, and everybody is been running and good to go. My man Jay Moore, the voice of Indianapolis, aka the mask monitor. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. You know, had a good weekend. You know, made some money. You know, okay. any weekend where you can make some money, that's a good weekend.
I'm with you when you're right, brother. I'm with you when you're right. To my left, DJ J Diff. What's happening, man?
How you tasting? I'm here.
All right. Good to see you as always. Everything good your way?
Yes, man. I can't really complain. If I did, nobody would listen anyway. I got my drink. I got half a kit today, you know. So
half a kit. You know, okay.
I'm doing half all right.
So I'm Sun Kinged up for the record. You know, go ahead and get that product placement. So I'm Sun Kinged up. Jay Moore is Sun Kinged up.
Here we go.
Sun Kinged up. Okay. That's a good percentage. Speaking of long, live from Bringing Down the Band headquarters, how are you, sir?
I am doing well today. Thank you for asking. Can I do the whole show like this?
Please don't.
I never know what I'm going to get when I throw it to long. I never know what type of mood he's going to be in when I get to introduce him. That's my brother, though. That's my guy. But I never know what he's going to give me. We were having a random conversation. I'm going to throw this out real quick before we jump into the topics, because I'm a nerd like everybody else. And it's real quick. Don't overthink it. Give me which game. Talking arcade games from our era when we were kids and running to the arcade and all that type of stuff. So, overall experience. So overall experience was better. Turtles, the Ninja Turtles, Mortal Kombat. Jay Moore, which one? Real quick.
Mortal Kombat, just because of the competitive element.
Mortal Kombat, okay. Jay Diff, Mortal Kombat or Ninja Turtles? Overall experience.
I was better at Ninja Turtles, but Mortal Kombat was more groundbreaking. So
Mortal Kombat 2 specifically was the joint.
Okay, yeah. Long. Overall experience, Turtles or Mortal Kombat?
I didn't play the arcades.
Just told y'all I don't know what I'm going to get. I just told y'all who knows what we're going to get. He lying because I know better.
No, actually, I really didn't. But what I would say, I would definitely say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, which I believe is the arcade game.
Yeah, and,
but I do remember where I was specifically the first time I saw Mortal Kombat 1, and I was blown away. I was like, what is this?
Mortal Kombat was groundbreaking.
Dark Horse, or you know, just an alternate.
But definitely for me though, is definitely Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I played that way more.
Dark Horse, Simpsons. CAD threw that in the chat. I see you.
No.
Hit more? No.
I was actually gonna say you slapping on the Simpsons because the Simpsons was dope too.
I thought it was dope too. But is it on the level of those two?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, Konami had a run because they had the Simpsons, Ninja Turtles, and X-Men at one point.
Talk to him. Yeah.
The thing about Simpsons was up there, but
it's a different type of game.
Turtles paved the way for that Simpsons game.
Yeah, it
was kind of along the same line.
But Mortal Kombat 2 is how I found out about the internet because, you know, the day it came out, there was some dude who knew all the moves. And I was like, man, how did he find out all this stuff already? He's like, oh, he's been on the bulletin board. And I'm like, there's a bulletin board somewhere that's got, you know, moves. Like, I'm thinking bulletin board that you can put tacks in.
A cork board.
You know, and he's like, no, you the bulletin board's on the computer. And that's how you know the moves ahead of time. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's basically how I found out about the internet.
Okay. I can dig it. Let's see. Since we asked this question, shout out to the chat. Nicole is in the building. Nicole says she needs that merch as well. We got to get the product out to her. She's a winner, so we got to get it out there. she says Mortal Kombat. Nate Jeezy says Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Waffle House Pimp says Mortal Kombat. Files Pimp also said Ultra Beast for Sega Genesis was dope as hell too. Yes, sir. I'm with you.
I mean,
you.
It came with the system, so you had to say it was dope. For a lot of you, it was the only game you had.
CAD you said the shit out that game. This though, CAD said Turtles based off the fact that you had a better chance to beat that one than the NES joint.
That's true though, because the first one was almost impossible to beat. Okay. That, I don't know if you played that one, but that was the first video game
for Nintendo was whack.
That was the first one video game I ever had, and that shit was hard.
Swimming board. I guarantee you don't know nobody that got past that.
One.
If they did get past swimming board, it took them 3 days.
Yeah, because you had
the swimming board.
Three of your turtles had to die for you to get it done.
You couldn't save it.
It's a fact. Oh, you couldn't save it. Yeah, you just was ass out. Like if you wanted to beat a game, you got to let that thing ride all the way through, and the system gonna get hot on the top and all that. And just let it ride. Like what it was.
Zelda was like the first game where you could actually save your progress on.
Yeah.
That again?
Zelda was the first game
you could save your progress on.
No, because the thing is, back in the day, like you might get a game for Christmas or your birthday, or you could save up a little money. So you may, it's not like today where you got, these kids get games all the time and they can download them. Like you might get one or two games a year. And the thing is, if the game was terrible, you played that game until you got good. I beat The Adventures of Bayou Billy because I spent $40 on it when I was in the fifth grade.
Oh.
And I wasn't getting another game for another good 6 months. So as hard as that game was and as unfair, I figured it out.
I ain't going to lie to you. I got the one of the most gassed, and I know we got to get to the topics, but one of the most gassed moments I ever had was seeing, and I believe it, I'll correct me if I'm wrong, the gold cartridge for Link.
Yeah.
It was one of the few times where I was like, oh, this is the best shit ever. Like, it's gold. It's shining. I couldn't believe it. Like, I got so hyped when I opened them up.
That's the original.
Is that the original?
No, both of them were gold.
It's like my favorite game from that era, from the NES era, is The Legend of Zelda. That game by far is unmatched, in my opinion. But that's just me personally. I like those type of games.
Double Dragon 2, I think, was... Double Dragon 2 might be my... I ain't going to say favorite. I used to play the hell out of Double Dribble. I just love sports, though, so you don't want to count that. That's cool. But Double Dragon 2, I really like Double Dragon 2, man.
I mean, games the hell like out that. I used to like Double Dribble. That was a game that was really fast, though, right? Like, up and down the court in like 2 seconds?
They had like...
I'm thinking of Tecmo.
Quarters were fast. The quarters were pretty fast.
I'm thinking of Tecmo, I think.
You could for a little punk ass jumper from the side just so you can get that dunk animation.
Yeah.
Hey, and the mascots was weird. Like Los Angeles had like a hot dog. I think
it was supposed to be a
Boston
surfboard.
Boston had a frog. It was a surfboard.
It was supposed to be a hot dog.
Yeah, like we didn't know who those teams were supposed to be. It's all good though.
I'm saying though. Hey man, let's get into the topic because I can tell based off the way this conversation is going, plus the chat, we'll be here and talking about video games all night. So
straight
we'll do that on another day. But all right, man, let's get into the topics. On from a lighthearted vibe to a much more sad vibe. We lost. I don't know what's going on, man. Yeah, we talked about Black Rob. We talked about late great DMX. Now Shock G, man, from Digital Underground has passed away, I believe at the age of 57, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And I never see this stuff coming, man. But when I saw that, I just was like, I'm getting to the point now where I'm starting to feel like, you know, a lot of our childhood and teen years, like you seeing some of these people that, you know, you have memories attached to, like Digital Underground and, you know, Pac and Same Song. And then, you know, Black Rob, I told me and Lone talked about the album. We copped that album. We were together when we first heard that album. We exchanged CDs. I'm saying in DMX and all that type of stuff. It's just crazy, man, because a lot of these people are attached to certain eras in our lives. And as we get older, it's just crazy to see them pass away. And with Shock, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about Shock, that's been shared since he's passed is all of these videos of him sitting down at the piano playing I Get Around. I'm saying, or just playing joints that he produced. I was talking with my dude Nate Jeezy, he's in the chat now, about how certain people sleep on his production, like his production discography, some of the things that he produced that was fire. You know what I'm saying? And Digital Underground was groundbreaking, man. They'll always be attached to Pac, and you know, he bodied Same Song. I remember that when they were carrying him on the joint, man. The I think it was like a tribal type thing or whatever. Rest in peace is Shock, man. That's definitely that's tough, man. That's three in a row. You know what I'm saying? From a hip hop standpoint, but Shock is, I just always have looked at him as one of those iconic dudes from the character, obviously with him playing Humpty, but just Digital Underground and how Outbreak, like how they just changed it, man. They were just different. You know what I'm saying? Almost like a Parliament vibe with the show and the background dancers and all that, man. Pop was a roadie. Like
a Parliament vibe.
Yeah, they had a Parliament vibe like a mug. So rest in peace to Shock, man. That's definitely that's a loss in hip hop, man, for sure. JD, if you can jump in, man, any thoughts about Shock?
Yeah, man, Shock was a musician first and foremost, you know what I'm saying? And he introduced the world to Tupac Shakur. I mean, those that don't know that, that's damn near a shame that you don't know that that's how you were introduced to Tupac.
Talk to him.
There's no telling how Tupac would have made it without Shock G. And Shock G took him under his wing and made sure he was able to fly.
Excellent.
I mean, not to take anything away from DMX, but personally, Shock G kind of hit me a little different than the DMX, because I was heavy into music back then. So watching Yo MTV Raps and seeing Digital Underground being interviewed by Fab Five Freddy, and you know, just seeing how they move, that if the Humpty Dance is the only thing you know from Digital Underground, you did yourself a huge disservice, because they dropped some of the dopest shit of the early 90s and they were ahead of their time. You know what I'm saying? As far as that same wavelength as Parliament Funkadelic, Shock G was headlining all that shit. So a lot of people don't even know that Shock G produced so many tears for Tupac as well.
Talk to him.
And, arguably one of Tupac's best album, in my personal opinion. Yeah, Shock G was a musician, and I hate that he lost it. I don't even know the story behind how he passed, or like, was he sick or anything? Does anybody know?
Nobody found him in a hospital. Don't nobody. I mean, not a hospital, a hotel. I'm sorry. Don't nobody really know what was popping, but yeah. I think he was found in a hotel room, if I'm not mistaken.
It's crazy, but yeah. Definitely shouts out to Shock G and his family. This is one of those times definitely where folks should get their flowers while they're still here, while they can still smell them, because he definitely didn't get his just due just based off of the influence that he had on the hip-hop game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there 100%, man. Jay Moore, jump in, man. Just thoughts about Shock overall.
Well, you know, I think... Jay Diff alluded to it. If the only thing that you know about Digital Underground or Shock G is the Humpty Dance, I mean, okay, then we can't really have certain conversations about hip hop. I know it may have preceded you, and that's fine. But you know what, the things that came from the Shock G tree, if you will, because at that point, yes, there was West Coast music, but basically you either came from the Ice-T tree, you know, with Rhyme Syndicate, or you came from the NWA tree. And you know, Digital Underground was its own thing. You know, and the thing is, guys from Oakland, like Oakland gave you Hammer, Too Short, E-40, and Digital Underground. Like, think about the diversity of sound that came out of Oakland at that time. And it was all at the same time, 89, 90. I remember seeing the Do What You Like video. You know, I had these times because, you know, like I was just at one point I could tell you, like every video that was on, that's what I did. When I came home, I would flip back and forth between Yo MTV Raps and Rap City, because every once in a while there might be a video that didn't get played on MTV that got played on Rap City. It was very few, but it was mostly overlap, but there were a few that were different. But when Do What You Like came on, just the sound of that record was like, okay, because it wasn't gangster. And because when that was really starting to take off, but it didn't sound, it certainly didn't sound like anything from New York either. Like it was, when you listen to that, there's such a, there's so, like, it's what hip hop I feel like is supposed to be. It's supposed, like at the end of the day, we supposed to be having fun with this.
Oh, they were, and, the, they were the embodiment of that fact,
you know, but at the same time, the musicality of it, you know, with the bass lines. And then when I encourage anybody, go back and listen to Do What You Like. And you hear when he does the piano man part. Like that's right. One of my favorite breakdowns ever in hip hop, you know. But then they come back with Sons of the P, you know, that has no nose job on it, which, you know, considering the crazy
black young dude rapping or whatever happened to that.
Good
dude?
Question.
Good question. Was a kid that was rapping on that.
I have no idea, but you know,
you
like
got all, me on that.
All the, you know, considering, you know, all the you know, people doing stuff to their face and getting fix a flat in the ass, like, you know. No nose job is a very is something that should be played on the radio on a regular now. Only it probably would never do that because it would hurt too many people's feelings, you know.
Shaming you, shame.
But then you had a song like "Kiss You Back," like right in the middle of all this gangster shit. You have probably the one of the most feel good rap records ever.
You know, "Kiss You Back," that was a big record.
You know, so from that, of course, you get Pac. You know, there was a lesser known group called Raw Fusion, which was Money B and Fuse. You know, I mean, it really is a loss. You know, of course, being somebody that's still like that's my era. So I still would listen to those records from time to time. But, you know, it's sad, man. Like I said, with, you know, Black Rob, DMX, you know, Prince Marky D, you know, we've been.
I ain't even mentioned him.
We've been losing them this year, you know, and. You know,
I would do.
Yeah, yeah. Shout, you know, just, you know, so this is a real loss to hip hop. I hope people go back and discover Shock G and Digital Underground, because they were really a groundbreaking group that, you know, because there were so many groundbreaking groups at the time and so many artists, they really, even with the Humpty Dance and everybody knowing that record, sometimes a record can be bigger than the group. And it shouldn't be that way because the group had so many other things to offer.
Right.
But I hope a lot of people go back and discover, you know, Digital Underground, Shock G, and everything that he did, because it really is a loss.
Yeah.
So to your point about Oakland, don't forget about Hieroglyphics and Souls of Mischief. All of them was from Oakland as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Were heavily influenced by Digital Underground. You know what I'm saying? So.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
And all these groups were different. They were, you could tell they had an influence, but they were all different. That's what was so great about hip hop from that era.
I agree with you 100%. You definitely made a good point, especially about the Bay. Like, that's, you named icon. Everything you named was iconic just from that area. So I've always been a West Coast person and had a damn near West Coast bias. I should have been born out there with some of my favorite producers being Quick and Battle Cat. And all these types of dudes, but no, man, you right on the money with that, especially from a regional standpoint. Was your Digital Underground game low, or were you kind of in there a little bit? I'm not trying to clown. I'm just talking about just in general because your history.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a little bit of Digital Underground. I knew more Hieroglyphics than Digital Underground. You know, obviously, my first introduction to Tupac was All Eyes on Me, so. You know, I've seen a lot of arguments coming out, maybe be from some of you guys. Like, if you don't know Shock G, then you can't appreciate Tupac or something. I'm like, my first introduction to Tupac was after, you know, all that stuff. You know, so I mean, obviously, it's
so majority though. Don't feel bad. It's a majority of people that were introduced to Tupac that actually don't know anything about them, but.
I don't feel bad at all. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it. I don't think it's relative. Like, I think it's important to study the history in that aspect. But like, you can know and appreciate Tupac without knowing Shock G. I think you don't know, like, probably the deep roots of where he came from. Then obviously you don't know the deep roots. Like, I'm not a Tupac historian. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't claim to be. So
the thing about what you're doing to separate yourself from. Like what we're talking about is you're acknowledging when you heard them, because there are a lot of people that claim, oh man, I'm a Tupac historian. Oh man, I know everything about Tupac, but don't know who Shock G is. I think those are the people that say
and
I know Shock G. Don't get me.
Day one, and we
that's
have
what I'm
problem.
Talking about. Go ahead, Lone. I'm sorry, but that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and I know Shock G. You know, I think probably the first thing, I think the first song I heard from him was probably the Humpty Dance. I mean, that was a big joint, right?
That was a crossover joint.
But it was also he did one song with MERS, and I forget what it was called.
Yes, he did.
And
I remember there
was
a video
big,
for it. I remember back
there
the
is,
day.
And I was I a big MERS that. Fan. I was a big MERS fan when because my evolution was like. Once I found out, it was like the early 2000s when, you know, I really started digging deep and, you know, one artist led to another artist. And that's just how it works when you're in that phase in life and you're just finding music, you know, one artist opens you up to somebody else. And you're like, oh shit, you know? And I remember I was a Little Brother fan and I found out the Ninth Wonder work with MERS. And then I found out about the Living Legends. And then I found out about more of the Oakland based, LA based, San Diego based hip hop acts. And when I got into MERS is when I was reintroduced to some other stuff that Shock G had done, because it took me down one of his rabbit holes. But I'm not overly, to be honest, I'm not even really all that thoroughly knowledgeable on Digital Underground or Shock's music. So it's cool to hear you guys talk about it. It's cool to hear you guys, you know, tell the stories because it's so easy to... it's like any facet of life and any facet of information in general, you know, we can be experts in our small little box, but then there's this one little box over here that we just didn't take time to dive down yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. And yeah. Then, you know, eventually, you know, you probably will. And I probably will as well, you know, in that realm and then learn a whole bunch of more stuff about something
I think if you looked at, If you search on Twitter or any hashtags about Shock, I think you'd really appreciate clips of him sitting down at the piano and really seeing some of the stuff that he played and then going back to be like, oh, I didn't even realize he did that or I didn't even realize he played that. Like, run on a Get Around. Like, he was sitting at the piano playing that. It's chromatic as it goes down. Like, it's dope to actually see him just, you know, jamming out like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure I would. Yeah, you know, man. it's just you know, finding the time in the day to decide to go down that path of history versus another one. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't think you're one of the guilty parties assumed when the conversation comes up though. It's more of the people that are so headstrong on being this uber super Tupac fan that's been down since day one. Don't have a clue who Shock G is, because if you were down since day one, you would have known,
right?
You would have followed and you would have studied. You know what I'm saying? It kind of comes
sure.
with
I get
territory.
It. I don't think
somebody has to necessarily know about an artist if they're not so gung-ho about being the number one fan of that artist. Just to make that clear.
They do exist. Go ahead, Long. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, and two, you know, like, I think in general, as people that influence music is, you know, we have that ability, you know, with the show and everything we do. Like, you know, I like to be a little bit more careful, me personally, and this is because, you know, changed throughout time. You know, like, I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, man, you never heard about Jay Dilla? Man, you don't know anything about beats. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever want to be that person that's going to like stir and push somebody away from like actually checking it out too. Not that I'm saying that's what you guys are doing, but, or whoever else is doing that. But I'd never want to be that because I feel like that in the long run actually hurts the people that people might actually want to check out. So,
yeah,
everybody has their own phase of discovery, and the discovery comes when or that person decides to take that plunge. So I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
If you know, through conversation, if you take, you know, that situation that you're talking about, because nobody wants to be that person. And even if it's just a playful, you know, slap on the wrist, be like, fam, how could you not know? But here's why you should know, and take a look at this and go listen to this album when you get a chance. Like, it's still a positive resolution there. Like, it doesn't have to be all negative. You know what I mean? Like, you can still be like, all right, man, I see that you didn't get it, but go listen to Sex Packets and then get back with me. Let me know what you think. Like, that type of stuff.
Right.
I mean, those conversations can happen. Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like
I spent the last decade sharing other people's music and trying to put them on. So like, it's
talk to them.
Okay. I mean, I guess I don't know.
Heard a lot. heard a lot of, Lone is the only person, I say this probably every 30 episodes, but Lone is the only person that can put me on to a rapper that's a producer, singer, and songwriter from like Slovenia or something like that, and it actually be heat. So he's heard a lot of music that I would have never even remotely been in, I feel the rooms like, or in the areas or anything.
I feel like a lot of
it's dope
can,
when he sends it to me.
And I feel like there's a lot of people in the chat that could probably do that as well. I bet, I definitely know Nicole can. Definitely know Nate can too.
You might. Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I'm with you there. They both legit. Arguments there. With Terry earlier, I'm being positive today. I'm not a hater. They definitely are. they are both well versed in hip hop. That is a fact.
It's in rare form today.
Yes. Yes. I'm being positive, man. Nate and Nicole. No, we appreciate y'all, man. I hope y'all have a blessed day, and I hope the sun shines tomorrow and everything is good for you all. Understand?
All right.
So, shout out to Shock G, man. Rest in peace and condolences to him and prayer. I mean, to his family and prayers to his family, man. Definitely hip hop icon. He's going to be missed. All right, man. Let's go ahead and jump into the next topic, and I have Kendrick on my board next, and this is from the. There's an article I saw, president from TDE, goes by Punch. He said, regards to a question in the interview about, he goes to an interview. Some people might not know, man. We just had that conversation. he was in an interview, and somebody asked him, obviously, about Kendrick, because we've mentioned, I don't know how many shows ago, what's he going to do and when he's going to come out. But he basically was like, he said, yes, soon, very soon, in relation to when are we going to hear some Kendrick music? And I got to thinking, like, Damn came out, I believe, in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Y'all fact check me on that. I think it's 2017 Damn came out.
Yeah, I think so.
And 2017 to 2021. You know, that's a big gap, man.
Do we count the Black Panther soundtrack, which he executive produced and was featured on?
Probably not.
A nice handful of songs.
I mean, maybe.
I'm not gonna count that one. I'm gonna count that one. Soundtrack like was fire though.
But compilation album, kind of.
Yeah, I'm not gonna count that one. But he was all over that mug, and that mug was fire. It still sound good now. So I'm with you there, but I don't know if I'm going to count it, you know, in the discography or whatever. But with him, with it being 2017 and through that 2021, artist of his caliber, one of the all-time greats, how do y'all feel about the hiatus? Do you think this is a situation that, you know, adds to the legend as we wait and anticipate for him to drop product, because this ain't Detox. He's put albums out, so it ain't like that. Or can this have a negative impact on his legacy, taking 4 years to put an album out? You know what I mean? Like, we all are Kendrick fans. I would just say support Kendrick, rock with him. I think this looks, from a fan standpoint, consumer standpoint, him having such a big hiatus in between albums. Lone, I'll come to you first. What do you think about that, man? How does that look just on face value?
You know how I feel. I don't care.
Talk to me, man.
like, Kendrick's a great artist, but he's an actual artist. Like, he's a hip-hop artist with a lot of musicality in it, you know? And as an artist, sometimes it takes a little bit of living before you can get back in there and write some other shit. You know what I mean? And especially if you're going to not just make the same thing you made last time, you're going to maybe try something different, which is, that's what he, you know, type of artist he is. I don't think anybody is necessarily, to be honest, I don't think there's anybody that's gonna be like, oh man, Kendrick's let me down, I'm not gonna listen to it when he drops. You know, it's not like Jay Electronica, who didn't drop for a decade and didn't have anything before it. Like, Kendrick gave us like 1, 2, 3, 4, arguably four classic projects in a row, depending on what you determine as classic, but let's just say great projects, right? And I mean, if not more, exactly. And if not more. And you know, when he feels like, me personally, when he feels like dropping music, I'll check it out because he hasn't let me down. There's a handful of artists in this category, I think, too. You know, like Odyssey's in this category. Whenever Odyssey decides to drop again, I'm going to be there. That's and, you know, it's, you know, like, I know that what he's going to drop, I know he's not just going to drop something just to drop something. You know, sure, it may not be maybe an EP or a short track or a project or something, but you know, I know that it's going to be good. So that's how I feel about it.
Okay. I'm mad at that. Just a quick note. Looked at, I always compare Kendrick and his sound and the way he evolves. I always use Outkast as a comparison, and Outkast did every 2 years. I looked on Wikipedia, and their albums were every 2 years, starting off with Southern Playalistic, obviously. Every 2 years, they dropped the album. So just for point, because I always use them as a point of reference. But J. Diff, what do you think, man? Do we care, or does it taint anything to you, in your opinion, or could you see people be tainted by that?
I mean, or butthurt for a lot by a whole lot less nowadays. So, I mean, I could imagine people probably are upset, but who knows? I mean, them type people need to get a life. At the end of the day, as an artist, can't really put a time frame or a time clock on an artist that's creating things. You know what I'm saying? He's lucky enough to be in a position to where he can actually take some time off, reflect, actually live his life. And to Lon's point of view, come back with some more fresh shit to write about. Now, mind you, in this past 4 years, artists of Kendrick's stature has had a lot of material that he could have written about. A lot of people are asking, why didn't he talk about this and why didn't he talk about that? I don't think somebody necessarily has to address something when you want them to address it. And he's not a politician. He doesn't hold office anywhere. He's a hip hop artist, and he's human at the end of the day, just like me and you. A lot of people have addressed these situations that have went on as far as society and United States wise by becoming hermits or addressing it in different ways. They may have acted out on it. They may have fought their way out of the situation. Who knows what he's going through? Like I said, he's human. So, I mean, whenever he decides to drop a project, it's the right time to drop the project at the end of the day.
I literally have written on my board over here, artists are human. And it's been there for probably 3 or 4 years just to remind myself, even as a music critic, to not go too hard on people and to kind of reevaluate just for myself, you know, so...
Even back in the day, how you compare Outkast dropping every 2 years. Mm-hmm. Back then, dropping every 2 years was actually quite often for artists back then. Yeah. Because you live in a day now where you're expected to drop projects in the same year sometime. And DMX started that trend. He was the first artist to drop two projects in the same calendar year.
Flat.
Jay-Z was dropping projects every year to a certain point. I mean, Jay-Z hasn't dropped a project since 444, which was what, 3-4 years ago as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, so I mean, you can't really put your time card or a time clock on these artists to make something magical or make something that you're even going to be interested in hearing.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
Do you guys expect, Jay's going to chime in, but do you guys actually expect like Jay to drop, like ever since he retired the first time, I just haven't expected him to put any more music out. Like if he does, it's cool.
But it's always a treat to me, honestly.
Yeah, I'm just saying like, do you expect him to actually put any more music out? Like I just feel like he's whenever he feels like it, you know?
Yeah, I get excited when he drops something, or I'm curious to listen to it, but I have zero expectations. Yeah, I have zero expectations from Hov.
Well,
so
I look at it like with Jay-Z, it's like in Grand Theft Auto, he's already finished the game, and anytime he puts out a record, it's just a side quest now. Like he's completely, you know, there's nothing left to prove at this point, you know.
Yeah,
and so he's going to give us anything it's going to be in his time. And once again, he's got so many other things to do, you know. But for Kendrick, I think it's the same with a lot of artists right now. Why am I going to put out this great piece of art that I have no potential to tour behind? Because we're just not in that space still within society right now. I know people are getting their shots and still trying, you know, but we're not even at a point where, you know, on a scientific level that we could be at herd immunity, you know, so it's still dangerous for people out here to be in certain situations.
I think that's why Drake is tucked.
Yeah, that's why I think he put out that 3-pack, you know what I'm saying, and just get the streets talking a little bit. But he's not going to put out a full album. I wouldn't, you know, until he has a chance to where he could really, it can be a for real rollout. I mean, like a rollout during pandemic, you know, what is that? You know, there are a lot of places that are open. I'm not even going to act like, you know, Indianapolis isn't trying to act like Atlanta a little bit. But
talk to him.
We just have to be honest that really in a streaming era, I know there are people out here who are able to get their money through that. If you get a billion streams, you know, here's your money.
Yeah.
But a lot of these artists, they have to tour, you know, lot of artists are still now behind this pandemic. And, they're not talking about missing a few $1,000s. There are artists out here talking about, we missed several million because we can't tour. And if you're an arena artist like Drake or Kendrick at this point, I'm not putting out anything until I can go and really tour behind it. So, and plus, you know, once again, Kendrick is, you know, to take business aside, because that's what I was talking about, but Kendrick is a real artist, and he has something to live up to. There's some guys, they can put out records all the time because it's like, you know, if they do put out something that's really good, people are like, oh wow, he really snapped on that. You know, but they don't have particular musical legacies to live up to. Like, that's even true. If you just talk about the 3 albums that came out on Aftermath, you know, these are all, you know, we're going to be talking about To Pimp a Butterfly like we talk about, you know, Kind of Blue. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be something they teach in college courses.
Ooh, that's big. Wait a minute, that's big.
Not just because of the musicality right now.
When you think about what was going on in the country and what he was rhyming about, like it's good. It's almost like this ill time capsule of, you know, the time, you know, it really, you know, a lot of records, they could have been put out at any time. Kendrick records speak to the time when they were released. And so if you're going to be that kind of artist, like you have to put a certain tender loving care into the songs that you release. It just can't be about, okay, we need these singles for the radio, we need these singles for the club, we need these joints for the strip club. Kendrick is not that artist. And so we should be honestly happy whenever we get whatever we get from him, because he's just one of those special artists to where it, in a way, like Outkast, you can compare them. Like, we can be mad, like, man, we're not getting no more music from Outkast. Look, the music that we got from Outkast is so special, we shouldn't complain about it if we never get another note from the group.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I've had this conversation before, and I don't want to go this route, but I want to say this real quick. People, when I hear conversations about, oh man, fam recorded the album in a month. Oh man, fam recorded the album in a month, month and a half, 2 months. It got 25 records on it. Oh man. I'm like, first of all, Lone's point is like, okay, cool. Second of all, majority of the time that I hear that, it sounds like y'all recorded it in a month and a half.
Exactly.
It's like record, like I'm like, if I listen to a project, it's got 16 joints on it, like 14 of them sound the same. And, you know, it's just like, I can tell y'all didn't take this long to put this, you know, microwavable music out. Now, I might have some heat on there. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not saying that it doesn't. But the general consensus for the project, I'm like, fam, it sound like it took y'all a month and a half to record it.
Yeah, and the songs are 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, you know.
There we go.
It's like you got a 16-song project and it's barely a half hour.
Mm. We're running up them numbers, man. It's the streaming game. Like, yeah, I'm going to drop a project that got 75 songs on it so everybody can stream it. You know what I mean?
It's funny because this conversation kind of ties into...
Yours is for different. Don't do that.
Sounds like the ties into the conversation we had last week as far as musicians and groups and... is existing and operated totally different back then.
Yeah.
Even the way people are manufacturing music, way different now. That's why when you have an artist like Kendrick Lamar, who takes his time with his shit, you know what I'm saying? And he makes music for the moment that that spans over lifetimes. I mean, it's kind of like Marvin Gaye type shit. Marvin Gaye was releasing songs that that were popular, but he also was speaking on the moment.
Oh, cool, man. And James Brown the same way.
Yeah, shit still sounds good to this day, though, because when you make music like that, it transcends time, because unfortunately, shit repeats itself.
Yeah.
So it still fits into that same pocket that he was talking about 40, 50 years ago.
Even if it's funny that you say that, but if you listen to Marvin Gaye's, like, What's Going On, like, you just go through the whole list of everything on there. Everything that he's talked about on that album is relevant right now in 2021. Right, the whole project, all of it.
Yeah.
Everything is relevant right now. The shit James Brown was talking about on a lot of these joints, man, like, obviously I'm black and I'm proud. Like, there's so many joints where it's like, yo, still in the same situation from the 60s when JB was recording this. I mean, like King Heron, like if you go listen to these joints about drug overdoses and stuff like that, all that shit is still relevant right now in 2021.
So that's
gonna be all right. We're gonna be all right. Was on To Pimp a Butterfly. Oh. I listened to that shit last year, and the shit dinner made me shed a tear during this exact time last year. That song was came out just prior to that. So,
Lone, what you have for me? Because I saw your eyes light up. What you have for me, man?
So does that speak to the music being made, or does that speak to the fact that us as a society hasn't grown?
I think that's the indictment of society, because the fact that Marvin Gaye's music still speaks to what's going on is an indictment of society, because we've moved a lot less. We haven't moved as far as we think we have. You know, he's talking about
music.
Well,
that doesn't mean that the
brutality.
Music wasn't elite, though.
Yeah, but he was talking about the environment. He was talking about picket signs. He's talking about, you know, don't bother me with brutality. Like, if we had made the strides in society, maybe these songs wouldn't come up as being so relevant. And like, that's the part that it's almost like he saw into the future. It's like, look, y'all are going to need these songs in 2021, just like you need them now. And we gonna be all right. It's messed up, but like, yo, we need that song today just as much as we needed it when it came out. I believe it's also about the timelessness of themes. Like, because you could have put out a song about brutality and injustice in the 1500s, and you know what? You go back and listen to it and be like, well, still injustice and brutality by the ruling class and by people who don't want to share. You know, there's always going to be a certain level of greed, and that greed is going to be endorsed by the state in some ways. So, there is just something to be said when people make music that, you know, speaks to the human condition, but it also says something about the human condition that the music is always speaking to these things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I can dig that. Good injection there, Lone. I think we should go ahead and shout out to partners real quick before we get into this last topic. You good with that, Lone?
Yeah. Everybody, stick around. Stick around for the partners, because the partners are great. And
we'd like to thank our partners for the New Old Heads podcast: No Bad Ideas Clothing Company, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl, Sun King Brewery, and the hub for all things New Old Heads, bringingdowntheband.com. Remember, once you type Bringing Down the Band in the search bar on YouTube and the page populates, subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. And as always, we thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
All right. We are back.
All right. Welcome back. As always, we appreciate the partners and their great partnerships. Amount Shiny Sun King Glass. We like these. These are the experience better. Don't do that, Lone. I see you. I already see you. Don't do it.
We're going to be raffling off to everybody in here. We're going to be moving to YouTube eventually. And so for a handful of reasons, but we got some Sun King $25 gift cards here. We're going to be raffling off to anybody that's a patron. And Sun King's like everywhere anymore, at least around here. So we might be doing this We might be doing this regularly too. So for the patrons, but of course you got to be over 21 years old and all that good stuff. But
like beer,
you know.
Yeah, for sure. But we really appreciate them, and y'all stay tuned for more details because we definitely want you all to follow us over to YouTube as we continue to, you know, click grow the ball. Yeah, so be subscribed and follow and do all that other stuff because we're gonna need it as we make that transition. All right, man. Let's go to the last topic before we get out of here. Freddie Gibbs was in the news, and you know he was. One point was off IG and went to Twitter. Now he's back on IG. And, you know, if you watch his feed and watch his stories, you know, it's going to be some hilarious material. And he always says people send him things. But he got a little backlash for a video that he posted. The video in question was posted by Freddie on Twitter on Sunday. And the clip was of a man who was behind the desk at a Holiday Inn Express. And the guy that was holding the camera said, "You want to get mad? Hit the computer because you made a mistake because your company made and take it out on me." This is the guy that's holding the camera on the guy that's working at the hotel. And the guy says, I'm not taking it out on you. The hotel employee, this is what he told the guy that was filming. And he says, "So why did you get mad and hit the computer?" And the employee, like, he began to like go crazy. Like, I don't know if y'all saw the video. He punched the computer 3 or 4 times and
with his head?
No, hit his head on it. Yeah, with his head. Thank you, Long. Several times before taking the computer screen and smashing it over his head. And then it says he got settled before walking off camera. And he was crying out loud, and you know he was getting heckled by that same customer. So
employee.
Freddie Gibbs. I'm sorry. Yeah, for the employee, but Freddie Gibbs was, and people were roasting him for that video because did y'all see his response?
Did you see what he typed?
Yeah, all he said was somebody make sure this white boy don't have a gun, and he used the prayer hands emojis. So for people that were really offended by that, by his post, insensitive, and Terry, you mentioned being sensitive to reactions and things of that nature throughout the course of the show. You said that a couple times, but if you saw the video alone, you saw it, obviously, because I know you mentioned about the head situation. How do you feel about that, man? Because in 2021, on just face value, based off what he said, is that insensitive, or was it kind of or what should he have done if that was insensitive? Because him really was, he really had like a quick tantrum real quick. Like, it was... It wasn't just like somebody getting mad and stormed off. Like, fam really had experience for those few seconds before he walked off. So what do you think about this, man? Is that justified? What should he have done, in your opinion, if it's not justified?
You're talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Because I know you saw it.
Well, I mean, the dude obviously had a breakdown. The dude obviously had a breakdown, right? So whatever was going on before and afterwards,
right.
I mean, it was like, you know, you never really want to see somebody in that state. And he obviously was distraught in some manner, right? So the first thing I would say is, why do you feel like you need to post this online? That's number one, right? So it goes back to the original person. Share it to the Holiday Inn Express people and keep it moving. But no, it's like this clout chasing. He probably got some views over it and maybe got some follows. Who knows? But this stuff goes on. This is the same thing as, you know, all the stuff Freddie shares. And this wasn't Freddie that took the video. Let me clarify this just for people.
He didn't take it.
He just shared the video. And if you've followed Freddie in the last 2 years, maybe longer, that's what he does. I mean, he shares outrageous videos that a lot of times are hilarious in like a non-politically correct way. And it's just kind of what he does. I was actually surprised when I looked in the comments when I saw the video that had a lot of people saying like, "This ain't it. This is not the look. Why are you sharing this?" You know, like blase, blase, blah. It does seem a little bit in the form of like people are getting a little outraged over the fact that he's doing it, because you know what he shares. Like, if you follow him, you know what he does, right? But at the other side of it, it is like, yeah, maybe this is a little bit different. I don't know. He replied to one comment and said, he's like, yeah, that's why I said, you know, somebody makes sure that he's okay, so he doesn't, you know, shoot somebody up or something, you know, I don't know. So,
right.
It's nuanced, man. There's a lot of gray area in there, but, you know, should he have shared it? I don't know. Probably not, but did he expect this type of response? Probably not. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay. More what you think, man. Did you see the video first and foremost? And
yeah, I did, but you know, like, because I follow 40 Gibbs. I thought, you know, the thing that got people more upset, he shared this girl fight of these girls who were, you know, fought their way out of their clothes. I thought that was what, you know, that was what it seemed like people were more outraged as, like, why are you posting people fighting? And once again, Freddie is doing this, like, you know, because he thinks he's a lot of times he's trying to make jokes. And if you follow Freddie Gibbs or you've ever heard him be interviewed and you understand, I mean, his personality a little bit, then
yeah, I laugh. You're not shocked or
upset at any of this stuff. Like, you know, this is just, you know, how he gets down. So, I mean, people need to find things. I'm more offended that, you know, people are getting these high medical bills after, you know, COVID. You know, you want to get offended by something, get offended by something that actually is hurting people. Don't get offended because somebody posted some videos online. Like, we find the easiest things to get offended by and, like, are so easily trolled as a society that, you know, when it's time to be offended for real, we're like, we don't feel like talking about that right now.
Yeah, you know, like,
yeah. I'm like, yeah, this is Freddie, you know, this is Freddie entertaining himself and at the same time entertaining a lot of times the dark humor that some of us have. So I'm not mad at Freddie.
In 2021, though, Jay Moore, in 2021.
Yeah.
No, just looking at it straight through the lens. Everything that has happened, is that statement that far off?
No, that's what we've seen. That's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. Is that really that far off based on what we've seen?
I know this sounds really, really bad, but like when I, you know, is a way to get money, you know what I'm saying? Not just hosting clubs. And when I do the hosting for high school proms, I always joke with whatever DJ I'm working with. I'll be like, all right, I got to keep my head on a swivel because one of these kids might be the school shooter. Man. So I'm not. I mean, it's kind of a joke, but it isn't.
Don't do that long.
Looking for that trench coat.
don't do that long.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the trench coat mafia was all at the gym. So whatever.
The thing is, I can make these jokes, you know.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. You know me. I know some people got a musket too in 2021. Jay Diff, talk to me, man.
There's certain jokes that y'all can talk about, and you know, and there's certain jokes that I can joke about.
Look,
I can joke about.
Look, you know, because Long look like the school shooter. So I'm good.
You see me? I've been wearing the same trench coat for the last decade, in case.
He got a shotgun. Hey. Be careful.
Yeah, let me be careful, man. He got a musket too, so I'm gonna chill because Long might have a bad day.
He ain't got a musket. It ain't no musket now.
And if I really
more than one round at a time.
True. If I ever want to scare my neighbors, I'll just go out in the yard and cut my grass with scissors, and then they just won't mess with me at all.
They think you're Edward Scissorhands.
If he got J. Diff, Long got that mug. Morgan Freeman was loading that you got to take the rod and put it down the barrel before it shoot. Like, he got one of those.
I think it's legit. You might want to check the stock on that motherfucker again, man. Because
ain't
a musket.
You remember when they was giving out the shoes and Morgan Freeman was like, shoes, boy, here's a pad, here's a pad.
I understand.
He got one of them.
Joke, but don't think that mug ain't gonna get loaded again in 1.1 second. Be clear.
Yeah, you're right.
That's true. Okay. And I'm still anti-gun, but you know, it's true.
Do what you gotta do.
But
Jay Diff, man, talk to me, man. What's your thoughts, bro?
So are we offended because he said the white boy don't got a gun part? Is that what we're offended about?
I think the consensus was when he said somebody make sure this white boy don't have a gun, what I saw was things trending towards the point of you don't know if he has mental health issues or you don't know what.
Okay.
You
know. Okay.
Thanks
okay.
related to the mental
you can,
health.
You can
thing.
Stop right there. That's all I needed.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I want to make sure we was on the same page.
That's all I needed. Stop attributing everything to mental health. And let's attribute some of this shit to personal accountability.
Have you seen the video?
I mean,
though?
At the end of the day, I haven't seen the video, but at the end of the day, even without seeing the video, he could have been having a bad day at work. Because granted, everybody has a bad day at work.
I like that though. Like this was a little different. Like I've never had a bad day.
I wish you had seen it, bro. Like,
and then went and cried in the corner. Like, yeah. It was something else.
I wish you'd have seen it, man. Like, it was a. I feel you on the bad day part. I'm with you there. That's why I'm saying, yeah, because I feel you there. But when you watch it, fam's mannerisms and his actions were a little bit.
Is anybody able to find this video and pull it up?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Possible. Okay.
Yeah, because when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, okay, okay.
Only reason that I said, let's stop attributing everything to mental health. Because every time something happens that involves white America and a gun, it's always attributed to mental health. So I guess him alluding to or saying that let's hope he doesn't have a gun along those same lines and must have hit those same triggers. But at the end of the day, if it was a black dude, the guys would have said, this black dude might even said this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Hope he ain't got a gun.
Yeah.
If we talking about Freddie Gibbs here, man, he literally clowns all goddamn day long. That's what he does. That's the whole reason he's not on Instagram right now, because he clowned a little too much for Instagram's policy. So he had to move the show over to Twitter. So if you're following Freddie Gibbs, you know what kind of show you're going to get.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? I don't understand why certain people follow people to disagree with them.
Like the same.
I'm laughing.
Why are we doing it? What are you laughing at, man?
Well, I'm sorry. It bothers me when you laugh.
I can't even share. I went to Freddie Gibbs's Twitter, which I follow because I think he's funny because I like dark humor. And there's a video I literally can't share. It says, "Is this a fight or an orgy?" And so,
that's the one I was talking about.
And no. so I mean,
that's just what he does, man. I mean, you can either be down with it and follow it and watch the show, or you could not fucking watch the show. Turn the
shit
off.
Did he get kicked off again today? He was just on there earlier. Did he get kicked off again?
I don't know.
There you go. He's still on there. He's still on there. Okay, he's still on there.
People be having a lot of fake outrage and want to be butthurt for nothing. She wasn't. This is what bothers me, and I don't even want to keep bringing Nas X up for shit, because that didn't bother you at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where somebody that's supposed to have this great moral compass bothered by that, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man.
It's tough out here, man. You can't do
it, son.
You got to be careful, man. Like, we
what
are
city
in a
fam?
Reactionary time.
You either win it or you ain't. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what city that was in. The one with the scrippers. I don't know what city that was in. I love when he asked what city, but I don't know what city that was in. I don't even know if I want to put a city behind that.
I can't even find the video, but I'll share it in a little bit.
Probably Indianapolis.
Probably was. That's what Nate said.
More like, so. Jay, more like that's the back of the cast, but like that's what we usually have. Or is it in the front, Jay Moore? Back or front?
No, it's another club I work in. And our problem.
I don't want to mess your bag up. I don't want to mess your bag
has
up.
Has been girl fights. I don't know. Some about the pandemic has made women want to come out of and fight. I don't know what it is. Maybe they PPE fraud didn't go the way they thought. But something has made these women want to come out. Maybe they've been spending too much time with their kids and they've had it. And they out here taking
it. This is what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. They use some of that PPP money to get their bodies done, so they go in the club and fight so they can start ripping off clothes and show what them the new titties do or something. I don't know.
They spend all that money from that PPP, and they still can't get in the VIP. That's what it is.
Ramp vibes. I love it.
Sucks for them.
Sucks for them. Yeah, you ass out literally.
Yo, there's a GoFundMe for this guy. He reached $35,000. Got harassed.
For the dude that threw the tantrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be a victim by, it'll be pictures of him holding like a My Little Pony or something tomorrow. He'll be a victim.
Yeah, that's what they try to do with old boy.
Chocolate milk.
I'm sorry, that's just what it is. Like I you know, I don't give a damn. I'm sorry. That's how it's going to be painted. Like milk
and ham, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not with the milk and ham.
Nah, and the older ladies that was getting on us, man, we appreciate y'all anyway. But y'all show came to the defense of milk and ham, boy. Like, man, they was trying to drag us for that one. I don't think we've been dragged by anything worse than that. I could be wrong.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Thank you for your support.
Yeah. All right, man. On that note, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. We appreciate everybody in the chat. Shout out to all the homies, man. Nicole, David, Nate, Jeezy, E. I saw you earlier. Waffle House Pimp. I appreciate you, sir. If I missed you, I'm sorry, but I think I named everybody that I saw.
You maybe mentioned like two people, didn't you?
Say that. Like two people? I said David and Nicole and Nate.
Oh, okay.
And, saw C-A-D. E. Yeah, E was earlier. C-A-D. That's the homie. Yep. Thank you. And the rest of the lurkers, we appreciate y'all as well. And the people that's mad also, we love y'all also. So thank you for everybody. Make sure you check out our Patreon, Google New Old Heads, / is it, I get it right, Long? No, I mess it up from time to time for Patreon, /
literally, it's literally on the screen right now. Patreon.com/newoldheads.
Yes.
Yep.
We got some, yep. We got some options.
You're coming to make a mistake?
Just had a raffle before we just started. Reading is fundamental. And follow us on Twitch, man, and follow us over on YouTube as well as we get ready to make the transition. We appreciate all the support. Thank y'all for rocking with us, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Yes, sir.